This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hi, so today I have a really interesting conversation for you with Louise Ormond from Amelia Ann. So Louise hasn't actually launched her products yet, and I thought it was a really good opportunity to speak to someone who is still in the midst of creating and getting ready for launch. I thought it was a really good opportunity to talk to somebody who's right at the beginning, like literally, you know, right at the very start of it. I'm also hoping that Louise's story will really inspire you. If you have your own idea of a product you want to create and perhaps it's been on the back burner for a while, perhaps it's taken longer than you thought it would, or perhaps you haven't even got started. Louise is really honest about the fact that, you know, it's taken her a long time to get to the point she is now. Although, you know, I'm a fan of research, and I have to say I love the amount of research she did. She's going to talk to you all about what she's done so far. Louise creates breastfeeding wear to provide mothers-to-be this confidence to be able to feed in any situation at all. So her products are really innovative. They're new. She's designed them herself. She's going to talk to you about the design process and everything that went into that, all the research she did. And hopefully not long after this episode goes live, her products will be available to buy as well, which is super exciting. I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation with Louise, and I am so excited to introduce you all to her. So hi Louise, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you Vicky, very happy to be here today.
I'm really excited to talk to you. So if you could please start by giving us an introduction to you, to your business, and in the products that you're just in the process of launching.
Okay, so my brand name is Amelia Ann, and it's taken from my daughter, and I'm a full-time teacher currently at the moment, teaching design technology with a fashion industry background. And when I had my first child, Amelia, I was all fingers and thumbs and didn't know what to expect of my breastfeeding journey, actually, more of that. And that's what inspired my brand idea, which was to come up with clothing that, one, I didn't feel like I was all in a tizz of like how to feed. And obviously being around my family, I don't live locally to my family. I'm kind of the one that got away and came to London. And so when they came to visit me, I would literally sit on the sofa in just a loose dressing gown and just feed Amelia on demand. And I think it made a few of my family members a bit bashful around that, being the youngest daughter as well, and the second to have a baby within the family. And I just wanted something that I like getting out about and going on for walks. So I really wanted to be comfortable, and I found I wasn't comfortable, and people would stare and then make comments about covering up and things like that. And I wasn't fully exposed by any means. I would never just, you know, walk around bare-breasted in public, but it was just the moments I was caught out, like my daughter as well, and being a new mum, she used to really scream when she was hungry, and it's so loud. And I think being a new mum, I was just like, oh my goodness. And I felt like I can't walk the 15 minutes to get home and have her wait. Like, I just had to respond there and then, and that would be in the middle of the park or wherever I was. And so yeah, I really wanted to create something that I was comfortable in. I found a lot of clothes that I had were maternity So they were dual maternity nursing. But I also lost weight really quickly after having Amelia. And so nothing actually fitted me. And I'm quite a petite frame as it is. And so everything just swamped me. And I just felt when I was feeding her in my dual nursing maternity wear, you kind of had to lift up the flap. And I found like her face was completely covered with all the material, so I couldn't see her, and I really struggled with getting that perfect latch, and became very sore, and really kind of struggled through that, and would persevere with a bad latch, and because out of fear of not getting it right again second time, and having this screaming baby, and just this kind of sense of panic, I suppose. And so I really wanted to get over that hurdle and have something more comfortable. And I was toying with ideas and using my fashion background. And then I had my second child literally 17 months later. So they're quite close in age group. And it was from there that I was able to start pattern cutting and producing ideas. So yeah, it came from the need of having something that fitted my body type. Being in a situation where I felt more comfortable and confident, but also that I can just tend to my children's needs. And I wanted to carry on the breastfeeding journey and just really nurture them the best way possible. So it was just kind of, it kind of was born from there, and then just thinking about ideas and how to go about that. So I spent a lot of evenings just sketching. And obviously, when I was on maternity leave, I was able to kind of collaborate with some friends and talk to people about it. And I kind of got, I used to take them to baby sensory classes and things like that, and speak to other mothers and find out like their stories and how they find things. And just found that there was a real strength in that people wanted better options. They didn't want to wear the horizontal stripes anymore that all the maternity clothes seem to be and they were looking for something different that was more flattering. And people had different ideas lots of different experiences as well around breastfeeding in public. And some very positive, it was not all negative, which was great. And there's much more positivity around breastfeeding in public now, and a lot more awareness to it. I really wanted to cater for that kind of time. And I wanted to feed my children for as long as I possibly could, and read a lot of research into the benefits of that. And so for me to be able to do that, my maternity clothes were not going to suffice me another season or a year down the line, or even 2 years later, because I knew my body type changed so much as well. So yeah, it was really come from like, well, what is it that I personally need? And then from that and talking to other people, I realized that actually it's just a bigger kind of market. And I've always loved the idea of eventually having my own business and being able to change the time. Although working in education is great, it's not the 9 to 3 that people think it is. And so I wanted to really, I would love to be able to do the school drop-offs for my own children, but I can't at the current moment because of my job. I need to be in school before the children arrive. So I'd love to kind of be around for my children more around their schooling, but also have that creative outlet that I love so much as part of my job, but kind of continue it into my own business.
Thank you for all of that, Louise. And how old are your girls now, if you don't mind me asking?
Yes, okay. So Amelia is now 5 and Sam has just turned 4. So it's been a real slow burner in trying to get something off the ground. Part of that's just due to my own time commitments around having a full-on family and full-time job, and trying to do this around that.
Of course. I mean, I think a full-time job and having children, they're both kind of full-time things as it is. And then trying to do like something else on top. Yeah. Do not give yourself a hard time at all for how long it's taken. Cause I think that things do take time. And of course it's never going to, at the moment, it can't be the priority because you have so many other priorities. And I can really resonate with so much of what you said as well, because I had very similar experiences with feeding clothes, because I too was quite small, and but my maternity clothes, one, didn't really fit me after having my children, but also I just was sick of wearing them. I felt like, you know, I didn't want to spend a lot of money when I was pregnant, so I had these maternity clothes that I felt like I wore the same things over and over and over.
Yeah.
And after having them, you know, I was so ready, but you know my old wardrobe wasn't quite right, it's, you know, for things like feeding, but then I didn't want to be buying clothes for feeding. So I can definitely resonate. And I mean, luckily my feeding journey was, you know, I never had comments about feeding in public or anything like that, and I think it's really so unfortunate that you did. And I think, as you say though, I think hopefully that is getting better for people. But regardless of what other people think, you need to feel comfortable, don't you? That's the main thing. So if, you know, you, even if you're somewhere where you feel, you know, and people aren't looking at you, you still need to feel that, you know what I'm trying to say, even if you're feeding in your own home, you need to feel comfortable. And whether that's comfortable with your body or comfortable, you know, because you haven't got your top lifted up and your back's getting cold or whatever it is. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And my dad's lovely, bless him, and he was very supportive, but I could see he would blush, you know, and that's sitting in my own front room. But it's just, you know, you can't just keep going hiding off in your own house into a bedroom to go and feed a child. I just felt like I want to be part of this family and be together and not miss out on a conversation or a topic, to just, you know, spending those 40 minutes and, you know, every however often throughout the day. I just felt like I wanted to be able to be in the moment and enjoy that with both my children. And
absolutely.
Yeah, the feedback I get now when I speak to breastfeeding mums particularly is there's much more awareness and campaigning towards it, and there are a lot more brands out there available, and at first that used to give me the fear of death and kind of give me the heart palpitations when I'm at work and someone would send me a link of, oh, this has just come out, and I'd be like, oh no. But then they've got all something different to offer, and what I'm hoping my range will offer is also the, you can wear them even if you're not breastfeeding. So I'm hoping that, you know, that even if you finished your journey, that people will still use them and still enjoy wearing them. I won't have that kind of feeling that about the maternity clothes that you just want them gone. You don't want them in your
house. And I think it doesn't really matter how many maternity brands, you know, there are, because if you think about clothing brands in general and how many there are, it's not like everyone shops in Next or whatever. You know, people shop in a whole spectrum of shops, like one individual probably shops in lots of different shops. And then when you think of all the, what I'm trying to say is that, yeah, they were going to be your clothes are going to suit some people and not others. And I think that, you know, I think that sort of thing, you probably can't have too many, because people like options, especially when it comes to clothes, because everyone's personal style is different and their body's different, what they're looking for is different. So yeah, I definitely agree, that's nothing to worry about.
No, and I've had to learn, which is good, and I feel much more settled with that now.
Yeah, I think as long as you know what your clothes, who your clothes are for and what they're about and what your USP is, I think that's all you need. And then the right customers, you know, will come yeah, to you. So I'd love to talk a bit more about what you've done. But before we do, I have to just say, when you were talking about sort of hiding away when feeding, I suddenly have flashbacks with my first child. That's exactly what I did. I felt so uncomfortable that we'd have guests around to see the baby and they wouldn't see me or the baby because we'd be upstairs feeding for an hour. And I didn't do that with my second child. With my first I did, so I can definitely resonate that. I don't even know why, in hindsight, it's not even that long ago, but it seems like a long time ago, and I'm not sure why I did that, but clearly, you know, something wasn't working, because I definitely didn't feel comfortable even on my own sofa if anyone other than my husband happened to be in the house.
It's such a hard one to get your head round, isn't it, as well? But there'd be moments when I think we had lots of family, and they were it was my other side of my family, and I think I just took myself off. I fell asleep. And so that was it. I was gone for the rest of the afternoon and missed seeing everybody, because we just fell asleep lying on the bed breastfeeding. And of course my husband was too, he just didn't wake us, he didn't dare wake us, so that was it. But yeah, it's really hard, I think, but I think it's important as well that people are aware of that, and that behaviors can change.
Yeah. And I think it's great that you're still talking to so many breastfeeding mums now as well, to kind of find out how people are feeling and what they're looking for, because I think that really will help you have products that people really, truly want and need. Yes. So I think it's fantastic that not only were you doing that 4 or 5 years ago, but you're still doing that now.
Yes. Yeah. And I have a very close NCT group that I joined with my first born, and we're all still very close, and we've all gone through our second rounds of having babies at different times as well, so I do check in with them a lot and get their opinions and how they are doing, and quite a few of them have moved as well outside of London, so it's time to see, you know, did they get a different response to where they're living now and so forth. It's really important to me. I think it's important for the growth of the brand as well.
Absolutely. And so where are you now with things?
Right. So I have currently just finished making about 30 camisole tops. I've just got one style, but they're in two different fabrics. So initially the plan was to launch early summer, but then my very small manufacturer unit got unfortunately got hit with COVID, so it literally was a knock-on effect on every seamstress that was there, so they just closed for almost the entire summer. So then the dream of launching a summer piece did not happen, and then I was hoping then I would launch more kind of end of August, early September when they opened up, but the start of my school term has just been, it's been very heavy and busy with the changes of how we operate, with the lifting of rules around COVID as well. So it's kind of put me a little bit on the back foot. So the camisoles are obviously an excellent layering piece. So whether I will launch, I will probably be launching more likely in the new year now. But I do have a few back orders for the pieces I've created, so I will fulfill those. But in terms of like promotion, I probably won't be putting myself too much out there this time of the year, just because I just don't think I'd be able to realistically keep up with any kind of comments. I wouldn't want to let anyone down either. So I'm working, I think, towards more of a new year launch. And I've also got two other designs which I know work and fit. They just need making. So I will probably put those into production, so then I can launch a three piece kind of collection in the new year, but I have some made up already, which is good.
That is good. And I think that's a good point about the timing as well, because we are getting to that point of year where really, really soon it's all going to be about Christmas and gifting, and I'm not, that's not to say that your products aren't suitable for gifting, because I'm, you know, they are, but then I guess as a teacher as well, you're coming up to the end of term, and yeah, it sounds like putting things back until, I know there's probably never a quiet time for teachers, but I think not launching at the busiest time of the year when everyone's focus is on other things does sound really sensible, and there's no point putting yourself under unnecessary pressure, particularly as your products aren't seasonal. I mean, I know they're clothing, and I know people think of camisoles maybe for summer, but like you say, plenty of people wear them for layering anyway, so I think you're totally right not to not to set an imagined deadline in your head when you have to have them out, because actually it really doesn't matter. They're going to sell year round, aren't they?
They are, yes. And I'd rather get it right as well. Like, I have been struggling with the website build, just trying to get the testing of it to run smoothly. And so I wouldn't want to launch something that was not working or functional, or people got frustrated over, because predominantly it's going to be mothers that will order, and you know, if they're managing children and are breastfeeding or the babies, then I don't want to give them a headache or frustration over trying to just order something that's meant to make their lives easier. So so it's making sure that that's fully working.
Absolutely. Yeah. Although what I will say on the other side of that is, make sure it's working, but don't wait for everything to be perfect, because that is something I see sometimes, that people say, oh well, I'm going to wait until everything's absolutely perfect, and to be really honest, but everything probably won't be really perfect, because things just aren't, are they? So don't let that hold you back.
That's very good advice, thank you.
So let's go backwards a little bit, if you don't mind, Louise, and talk about the steps you took from coming up with your initial idea to having some garments already made and some others ready to go into production. So what are the things that you did?
Yeah, so initially I did a lot of the work myself. So I kind of got some fabric. I did lots of sketching and drawing. And after speaking to lots of women and running some small focus groups with new emerging mums and using my baby classes and things like that to talk to people. And then from that, I was drawing up ideas. I shared some of the actual sketches with people that I was speaking to get feedback on as well. And the type of mechanism, because there's a lot of zips, there's a lot of like still lift up kind of flaps, and I didn't want to do any of those. I wanted to kind of engineer something a little bit more in keeping with the seam lines and actually the contours of your body, so you didn't feel like you had to lift and expose. I just wanted something that just naturally kind of made it easy. So I worked on the mechanism quite a lot, and then I initially pattern cutted and made some samples myself. I have that background, so that helps me, because I teach design technology, I know how to sew as well, and I use all the different materials. So that bit made it easier for me in terms of some of the material selections and sourcing. And then obviously just being a new mum and then returning back to work, it got harder for me to kind of just navigate these ideas. So then I went to a few trade events, local trade events, that were kind of showcasing kind of pattern cutters and manufacturers and fabric sourcing. And so I went to those and found a local pattern cutter, a small team that dealt with pattern cutting and kind of your pre-production samples and small run production. And from there, I was able to take my samples along and kind of discuss the ideas and further develop it, which was great, actually, because they did a lot more with it than I think I could have done, or a lot quicker anyway than for me. So, yeah, so I had a lovely pattern cutter who created the final draft, really, based on what I'd already started. And it was quite a funny moment where my seam line is basically, it's like called a princess seam, which goes from the mid-shoulder down. But I've curved it, so it's kind of in line with your bust and goes out to the side. So you can feed one-handed, and it's literally with the flick of the thumb, you can basically access the nipple to feed, and you don't expose the whole breast. Like, you don't have to completely take anything out. You can literally just expose enough to latch. And then you don't have lots of folded fabric over the baby's face. You can see exactly what your baby and how they're feeding. So the first time I tried it, it didn't quite work. There's still too much fabric. And then we tried it with the pattern cutter, and I don't know if you have ever been around horses, or particularly race horses, and they put the blinkers on the sides of their eyes so they can't see to the side of them. And it was, if I put this top on, and these bits of material like flashed out like blinkers, and I was like, oh, that's not quite the look we were going for. And it was just quite a funny moment of all the trial and errors when you put it on, you think that, yeah, that didn't work. So it was quite funny, all the different kind of experiments. So we got, once we found the perfect fit, it was then really easy to apply that to all the other ideas I had. So I've got a 3/4 length sleeve top, the camisole we've mentioned, and a dress. The mechanism is the same throughout, and it, with the dress, I've worked all with like a four-way stretch jersey, so, but quite flattering jersey. So I've tried to find fabrics that also have a slight dappling or a marl to them, or a rib. So then if you get a breast milk stain on it, it doesn't show. They also feel a little bit more luxurious than just a flat, like a cotton t-shirt would. Like, there's a texture within the material. So did a lot of research and fabric sourcing, and that was actually one of the biggest hurdles for me to get over in light with COVID-19, because so many suppliers closed their factories, the mills that I went to visit all of a sudden changed their MOQs. So from a new startup where they were said I could buy either the ends of their rolls, or they wouldn't add on a couple of hundred meters, say, to an existing order that they had, they no longer were doing. So I had to buy like the entire roll, which, and they produced them in 500 meter rolls. So the price points just went from manageable to just unreachable. So it was very So it, although I had a fantastic design, we'd sampled them, they fitted well. I sent them out to a lot of friends that I knew were either had babies or newborns or even like a year old, and I knew they were still feeding. I'd give them my samples, like, can you just wear it, wash it and keep it for a couple of weeks and then just give me your feedback. And from that I was able to make alterations to the design, and obviously that helped me choose the right fabrics as well to what washed really well and dry, and also any staining and things like that. So yeah, but the fabrics was my real nemesis, because I just for a very long time just couldn't get any. Or if I find some, it'll be just 10 meters, and it, well, 10 meters doesn't go very far. And obviously, if you want to repeat that fabric, there's no guarantee you can repeat it. So yeah, that's been the biggest hurdle, is trying to find the right fabric and enough of it. But also, if I didn't find enough of it, what could I replace it with, and is that going to be available, or is it going to be as close to, or is it going to be that I can just create a business off really lovely remnant fabrics, but that it just means that once they're sold, they're gone, and it's, you're onto the new kind of fabric. So yeah, that's something I'm still having to work out a little bit as well.
Oh, thank you for explaining all of that, and yet that sounds really, really challenging. And yeah, I guess, like you say, you could go it from either angle, sort of go for the short runs and the limited edition, let's call it,
yeah,
fabrics, or something that, you know, you can keep replicating. That, yeah, that has to be really tough. And then once you have the fabric, so the pattern cutters you mentioned, are they the people that actually, because you have to excuse me, Louise, I know very little about textiles, are they the people that then actually make the finished garments, or does somebody else do that?
No, so it's all based on price points, so I had to kind of look after the pennies of it, really, because initially I'm just funding this myself until it turns into something that's,
yeah, of course,
starts going to public. So the pattern cutter can do your pre-production sample. So if I then wanted to send that on to a bigger manufacturer, then I would have that with a kind of a tech pack, which kind of explains all the mechanics, the workings, and the lay plan if they were to cut multiple of them and to scale them up to size. I used a different company to grade that single pattern so that the top could be then available from size 8 to 16. So they grade the kind of paper pattern for you, and then it's all cut out on their machines in this lovely card. So you have that, and then you would send that to your kind of machinist to then sew. I've chosen a local manufacturer who deal with small run production, and they're lovely, and they're actually really local to where I live, and they've been fantastic. But because they're small, it means you get the knock-on effects that if they suffer with illness or anything like that, then it is backlogged. But they work with new designers for kind of London Fashion Weeks and things like that, so they're really high skilled. So yeah, I've used them because they are local to me, and it means I can get there in time after work rather than having to travel across the other side of London or to a different county. So it's made that simpler for me. I think in the long run, I will probably have to outsource and go a bit further afield, or go to a bigger manufacturer so that they could perhaps manufacture on demand. So once I get close to kind of needing to restock, that they would be able to just continue the make. Because at the moment, if I continued working the way I was, there would probably be a long delay between each batch of production. So for me at this point, it works nicely, and they're all priced per piece, so it can be expensive to initially start, but once you get over like the 50 mark, the prices do decrease by quite a bit. But yeah, it's a lot to put in initially.
Yeah,
you're not sure.
I think it definitely makes sense, say, starting somewhere small and local, because that can be a really hard thing, first of all, that when you're dealing with bigger manufacturers, they might want you towards hundreds or in some cases even thousands. And that's really scary and often just not feasible.
No.
It's nice that you've helped the local relationship as well, so you can actually pop in there and see people and see, yeah, progress.
Yeah, and what I actually, and it wasn't necessarily an intention, but what I quite like is everybody that's been involved that I have outsourced, it's all women. So I quite like that it's all women involved in my production of what we're doing, and at the end goal is to support women in their new journey. So it feels quite nice to have made these connections with all the people that I've worked with, and they've all been very accommodating and very lovely about what I'm producing. It's given me a real confidence boost that, you know, I'm still producing something of need as well.
Yeah, thank you. And we've covered them to sort of skim over this. I did want to actually say, I'm so impressed by the amount of research you've been doing. When you were talking about how you've been, first of all, talking to people, but then sending people actual products and getting them to wear them. And what, I mean, this is all the sort of thing I recommend people do. And I'm blown away by the amount that you've done. I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I do think that your products will reflect the amount you've put in, because I think putting all that work in up front makes a huge, huge difference, because you know what people like and don't like and how they need to work on people's bodies. And yeah, I just think that's fantastic. So I just wanted to recognize that, because I didn't want to just go, you know, bypass it, because it's really impressive.
Thank you. I think I've been fortunate in a sense. I think with all the setbacks, it's given me the time also to really reflect on what it was that I was trying to do as well. I'm just fortunate as well that lots of people are having babies quite close to me as well, that I could use them. But no, it has really helped. Even just to the issue of, and because I'm petite and I made everything on me initially, and I was the kind of like the fit model when I used to go and see my pattern cutter, and used to take my, you know, it was my son at the time, my youngest, and it was good because I could sit there and feed and see if it actually worked whilst I was actually having a fitting, which was great. But to the point where, because I'm petite, I try to keep it as standard size as possible rather than fitting to me, because I know I am quite narrow in the shoulder and things. But then when I did start putting the camisole on different people, I realized that actually the strap position was still a little bit too inwards on broader, you know, people. So like my sister-in-law had a baby, and she's not broad, like she's not overly broad. She's still, you know, got a good physique. She does lots of yoga and stuff, but it still felt like the neckline was still too narrow for her. So then I kind of tried it on a few other people as well. And had made the decision to move the strap out a bit, so then the neckline became a bit wider. But even when I've then put it back on, it fits fine. Like it doesn't alter it too drastically for me, that actually it fits better. So yeah, by doing that has made sure that those things are right.
I think that's brilliant. And thank you for explaining about the grazing as well, because another question I had was, how do you get it to work on sort of different size bodies? So I think that, thank you for explaining that as well, because as you say, when you're making your patterns originally, you have to probably stick to one size of the person who's trialing it. So yeah, it's really interesting to know how you size up and down as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite big chested as well. I'm generally a double D cut, so I don't know, a lot of when you're pregnant as well and feeding, you initially go quite can go to quite a big cut, so that is something that I still may have to adjust later on for the to know that the curve shape in my seam line is right, so that the position when you're wearing it is more on the outer side of your breast rather than on the inner side. So I think I would probably still need to, I'll probably end up getting some feedback on that at some point, but then that's something I can adjust within the design quite easily and react to. So it will be interesting once it starts going to a broader range of sizes to get that feedback.
Yeah, and I think it's really good to know that as well. And as we were saying about before, to sort of not to wait until that's absolutely right, but to say, okay, this is good enough, and knowing that you can make changes as you go along for your next batch and the following batch. And that's actually exciting, isn't it? That you can constantly be tweaking and improving.
Yes, yeah, because you can add things to the design or you can change it slightly. And yeah, it's nice. It gives it flexibility and gives you more design options moving forward as well.
So you're not too far off launch now, really, because we're recording this at the beginning of November. So what's sort of next on your list of things to tackle?
Well, I think because initially I had a different type of fabric. Well, it's not too different, but a different style of fabric that I initially did my first photo shoot with. So I think what I need to do is do a new photo shoot with the new fabrics, just so they're showcased correctly for the website. I still need to complete my website. And I initially I've gone with Wix because I used to actually make leather handbags a long time ago, and I've used Wix in the past, so I thought I went with what I knew. But actually I've never done an e-commerce website before, so that I'm still learning how to get that all completely functioning. So yeah, I need to work on that, and I think get some more photography done. And now I know that hopefully I'll be launching a three-piece collection. It's just making the dress and the top, maybe in a few other colorways of what I will be have available, so I can show them off to their best as well.
Oh, that's really exciting. And I've seen you on Instagram as well, and I'll link to your Instagram in the show notes. Everyone can go over and take a look.
Yes, thank you. I mean, that's also another something I've had to learn. I mean, I don't class myself as that old, really, but I didn't grow up with Instagram. I think, you know, learning Facebook and things like that when I was younger, and I love Pinterest. Things like that, but yeah, Instagram is something I've had to learn. That does change quite often, the algorithms and how that functions, so I'm having to try and to keep up with that has been quite the challenge. But yeah, I do enjoy it, and it's quite a nice platform for me because I can showcase my family as well, and it's nice to look back upon my Instagram account from its first kind of post, because you can see the journey and actually how far things have come along. Because sometimes I sit here and, you know, give myself the guilt that it's you know, it's still sitting, you know, in a box, and it's not out in public. And I have to remind myself that a lot of work has already gone into this, and it will be great. And I'm hoping that lots of people will enjoy it. And I've enjoyed the journey, even though it's been quite hard at times. But yeah, the Instagram's quite nice because it's got the visuals, and there are some images of the top already on there, but the fabric's ever so slightly different than what's on the Instagram at the moment, but it's not too big a difference.
Yeah, and I think it's really nice, as you're coming back to the journey as well, that to document that, so for you, as you say, but also for everyone who's following along and is, you know, waiting for your products to be available to buy, because I'm sure there are people who are eagerly away, you know, thinking, when can I buy them? Have you started having any inquiries?
I haven't had anyone to say to buy, but a lot of the followers I have are young mums or expecting mums, which is quite nice. And it's a very small following at the moment. It's very humble, very humble beginnings. But it's nice to know that there are people that have looked and engaged with what I'm posting or related to what I have said, which is really nice. But yeah, I know my sister-in-law is a real advocate for my brand. She loves it. She wears everything I've sent her daily, and has had compliments on what she has. And when she's put a post on, she's had lots of comments about it. So there is lots of positivity around it.
I'm sure there is. And of course, you know, everyone starts out with a really small following as well. Because that's where we all start with nobody following us, so that's completely normal. But I think it is amazing that the people that are following you now, they are seeing the journey you're going through, and I think there'll be some real excitement when your products are available.
Yes, fingers crossed.
So just a few final questions before we wrap up, if that's okay, Louise. So are there any other sort of challenges that you faced in the past, you know, in the past few months or years, or anything that in particular you think, you know, if you were doing this again, you'd want to be aware of?
It's probably the nitty gritty stuff that you don't think about. I mean, the designing and the trying on and working out your ideas is the fun part. Sometimes it can be a bit hard, but it is the fun part. So it's the admin side that I've had to learn. Forming the company with Companies House, and then keeping up, even though it's not a functioning company, remembering to do things like the tax returns and kind of formal elements, and the language around that is very hard. It's not something I would have come across necessarily before. So I had to do a lot of formal checks. Because I haven't launched, I haven't got an accountant. So it's just, I was doing everything myself and just remembering to pencil those in my calendar, and how to fill in those forms. because not initially easy. And it's like I said, the language is very different to any kind of business or schemes of work that I've written for school and things like that. It's very, very different. So that they took me longer than expected. And I'm sure there's lots of things that I will need to kind of learn in terms of like stock leveling and how you monitor that and the sales and things like that. So yeah, it's the nitty gritty bits that you don't hear of or see at the forefront of a business, which are the harder parts and that do take quite a lot of time. So organization is key, I think, for when it's definitely key for something I need to think about and be on top of.
And you're right, there's always like so much to learn, and much of it you don't even know that you need to learn because you just don't know what you don't know. So yeah, but that's great advice, thank you. And I think that's be really comforting for people to know who are listening and possibly in exactly the same boat of just not realizing all of the additional things you need to do other than getting your product ready. Because as you say, that is the exciting bit.
Yes, but then one thing to mention, when I have when I've used Companies House and needed to do things like a tax return or kind of audit, because you also have to kind of but you have to audit it and make sure that your accounts are in the right place and that you are actually still running under the name. And so you have to file lots of things and you have to just budget that in, because initially I didn't expect to have to pay a fee to just say, yes, I'm still here, I'm still running. But actually they're very helpful with their support. So I literally just would respond to the message, go, I'm not really sure how I go here. This is what I know I need to have in place. Is this the right thing? And most of the time they have responded pretty quickly and then have forwarded me to the right person and then offered support. So for example, my tax return, I needed to make it dormant because I'm not selling yet or making any money. So they were very good and down with that. Yes, I had to pay for it, but it just took the pressure off me having to fill in forms that I didn't necessarily understand, and they did it within 24 hours, and it was very comforting. And although, you know, it was a cost that I wasn't expecting, it was a worthwhile cost, because I was pretty certain I would have filled in something wrong and then would have probably had to pay for something again later on. So I think just using the advice and just not being shy to ask a silly question has helped me, because it's got me a bit further and unmuddled.
I think that's great advice. I think asking for help is always good. And that's really interesting to know that about Companies House as well, because I think I completely see there's definitely a fear of, if I get this wrong, will I get a fine? Will I go to prison? You know, am I being compliant? There's a lot of worry. It's good to know that they're really helpful. I haven't actually had to deal with them, you know, in that sense. So I think that must be really reassuring to know that you can just send a message or presumably phone someone and get the help that you need. Yeah. So I think that'd be so useful to know.
Yes, because the language is very formal and it's not necessarily language you would read, you know, if you work and have a contract, your contracts are written in such a way. But I think with the Companies House, and when you register with the company, it's completely different terminology. So yeah, it's helpful just to seek that advice.
Oh, thank you. That is really good to know. And so the final question, Louise, which is one that I ask absolutely everyone, and you might be a bit stumped on this because you've shared so much already, is what would your number one piece of advice be for other people looking to create and launch a product?
I think just have a really good plan. Like, understand your customer, understand what it is you're trying to achieve, because it can be very... you can get a bit design fixated, I think, and I've seen a lot of other people do it, and you actually see my students do it. But you know, you have this great idea and you're a bit blinkered in actually knowing how it's going to work. Is there growth in it? Can the idea be adjusted? Can you add pieces to it? I think for me it was just, I had to really make sure I understood what it was that I was trying to achieve. I had an idea, but if I'm going to make it a business, what do I really need to know, and what would make it successful? So it's kind of almost forgetting your idea in a way. So to know that you're actually willing to change your ideas to suit what is needed. So avoid design fixation.
That's brilliant feedback. Thank you. And as I said earlier, you've done that so well with getting the amount of feedback that you've got from people, because it can be really tempting to think that you've got all the answers and that you know exactly what your product should look like or be or do. It's so easy to think like that and go down that rabbit hole, particularly if it's a product that you yourself need. So I think it's really great that you didn't go down that route, because I mean, this was something that you needed at the time. The whole idea came from a need that you had personally. So I think it's really good that you were able to keep that wider perspective and realize that it wasn't just something for you, it was something that you're going to be selling to lots of other people. So I think it's brilliant that you did that, and that's fantastic advice.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for all that you've shared today. I really love talking to you, and I think yeah, it's been so interesting. Best of luck when you launch. Do tell me when you launch so that we
will. Yeah.
I can share it all out again, because yeah, I think everyone will be really excited to see your products.
Thank you. It's been nice to speak out aloud. It kind of reaffirms the journey as well, and that kind of strive to, I really, yeah, being excited about it. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of this episode. If you enjoyed it, please do leave me a review. That really helps other people to find this podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and do tell your friends about it too if you think that they also might enjoy it. You can find me at vickyweinberg.com. There you'll find link to all of my social channels. You'll find lots more information, all of the past podcast episodes, and lots of free resources too. So again, that's vickyweinberg.com. Take care, have a good week, and see you next time. Hi, this is just a little note. Say, if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.